What's up, shelf addicts? Welcome back to the Shelf Addiction Podcast. Today on Book Chat, we are talking about The Vampire Academy, written by Rochelle Mead, and its Peacock TV adaptation. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, I am your host, Tamara, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, we're going to feed your shelf addiction with fun book conversations, bookish topics, and more. It's like listening in on your favorite book club. Participate in this discussion by joining the Facebook group, Shelf Addiction Official, or over on the Book Club's app. I hope to hear your thoughts on today's show. You can also find me and Casey on Twitter and Instagram. The links for everything I've mentioned are below in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please support the podcast by sharing it with some book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. And don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe before you leave. That will really help me out, and I appreciate you for doing it. The uncut video version of this podcast is available right now over on Patreon. Join us there for exclusive videos, including after shows and more. So if you're interested in that at all, you'll need to come over onto Patreon and sign up. As always with Book Chats, we talk spoilers here, so you've been warned. Without further ado, let's begin. Today we are going to be talking about a book-to-movie adaptation, and of course joining me is show co-host Casey from Heartful of Ink. Welcome back, Casey.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
We did a lot of these previously, mm-hmm. but it's been a while since we've done
it. It's been a hot minute. Yeah.
Yeah. It's time. It's spooky season. It's vamp season. Mm. And so we are going to do The Vampire Academy.
Yes, by Rochelle Mead.
Yes, I'm very excited for it. So as we do, we're going to give you the book stats. We're going to talk about the book a little bit, and then we're going to jump right into talking about the TV show. We might even blend things together.
As we do.
As we do. So we're just going to wing it and just enjoy, okay? All right. So today, again, we are talking about The Vampire Academy, book one in series, written by Rochelle Mead. It was published April 16th, 2007 by Razorbill and Listening Library. The paperback is 332 pages and the audiobook is 8 hours and 54 minutes, narrated by Stephanie Wolf. Casey, would you please read the synopsis?
Love and loyalty run deeper than blood. St. Vladimir's Academy isn't just any boarding school. It's a hidden place where vampires are educated in the ways of magic and half-human teens trained to protect them. Rose Hathaway is a Damphir, a bodyguard for her best friend, Lyssa, a Morai vampire princess. They've been on the run, but now they're being dragged back to St. Vladimir's, the very place where they're most in danger. Rose and Lyssa become enmeshed in a forbidden romance, the Academy's ruthless social scene, and unspeakable nighttime rituals. But they must be careful lest the Strijorgi, the world's...
Strijoy. I just listened to the audio.
The Strijoy, the world's fiercest and most dangerous vampires, make Lyssa one of them forever.
All right.
I'm not sure that's how I would describe the book myself, but...
I would not describe it exactly that way. So as we do, when you first shut the book, high level, what do you think?
I was surprised I liked it as much as I did. I didn't love it, but I kind of, you told me I was probably going to hate it. And so I kind of expected to be more annoyed with it. Mm-hmm. But we just spent the last 3 months reading a very terrible character. And I kept comparing Rose to Faith, and mm-hmm. Rose was always better than Faith. No matter what mm-hmm. stupid thing Rose did, it was a lot better than anything Faith ever did. And so because of that, I was never as annoyed with Rose, because I was like, okay, you know, you have some character growth happening within book one. Faith never grew in 3 books. So no. I'm here for you, Rose. Like, you're growing. You got this, girl. You're making dumb choices, but you're owning it.
Yeah. So this is the biggest question. Mm-hmm. Did you like it enough to read another book, or not enough to read another
know.
Book?
I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to read another book, but I'm not, like, jumping for the next book. Mm-hmm. If somebody handed me the second book, I might, you know, start reading it. But I mm-hmm. don't think I would, like, go to Barnes & Noble today and go buy it myself.
Okay. at first, now, so you know how something is like hindsight, you know, mm-hmm. you love something when you first read it, and then you're like, well, there's something. Mm-hmm. And so this time around, I read it one time, you guys, back in 2011 is when I first read this. So I enjoyed it. But then the issues I had at the end, I'm like, there are a couple things I forgot that I didn't like. And ironically, I went to Goodreads and I had a pretty lengthy review there.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I only gave the first book 3 out of 5.
I mean, that's where I'm sitting. Like,
I did not love the first book, but then I went through my other ratings and book 2 got 4, book 3 got 4, book 4 got 4, and book 5 got 4, and book 6 got 5.
Wow.
So I clearly wanted to know more, so I kept mm-hmm. reading, and I enjoyed the ride, I remember.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the most solid start, and I still would agree with that.
Yes.
So I think if I were to try to read more, I think I would enjoy it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt similarly
the first time around. Then.
And when I read my review, I said, those are the same problems I have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Like, I didn't find anything more.
That's good. No, that is good.
Right. Yeah.
So what are some of these issues?
Okay. So the nicest way I can say it is I did not really like the vibe between Rose and Lyssa at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It felt kind of maybe more than friends, but I'm not sure. Like, it felt weird. It felt uncomfortable a
queer
little
baiting.
Bit. Yes.
Like,
yes.
Even that blurb that I just read, they're in a relationship. It made it sound like it was the two of them in a relationship. And it does. Mm-hmm. There are those moments where it feels like it's the two of them almost going into that relationship. And it was weird. And I didn't like that. And yeah, they can be friends. They can be gay. Just pick one and stick with it.
Exactly. And it's very clear that both of these women are straight.
Very straight. Too straight.
So to even put that in there, I was mm-hmm. like,
Yeah. Yes.
So that was one. And another thing I kind of had a problem with was Lyssa letting Rose drink from her. And that was a part, I think, of the queer braiding.
You mean
stuff is
Lyssa drinking from Rose?
Yes, the other way around. Yeah. Because, you know, it kind of felt sensual when
it was
doing
very
it.
Sexy, sensual. And Rose was like, hi, and wanting, you know, to get naked almost. Yeah, no, it was very weirdly sexual.
And that is something that is the very first thing that I was very happy that the show removed.
Yes.
They removed that altogether.
Yes.
I'm like, thank God. Because don't confuse the issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like in the book, the author just wanted more conflict. And of course, in the book, Rose had a big problem as a result of liking how it felt to have blood drink from her. So
not
that
even
caused
just liking
problem.
It, the fact that it happened and then everybody started to spread those rumors and, you know, they had to be like, oh my God, she's a blood whore. And it was just there for conflict, which was stupid.
Yeah. And she did like it, though, because mm-hmm. I think that is what got her in problems with that boy, because
mm-hmm.
when he kind of threw it out there, she didn't smack it down like, hell nah, that's awful. You know, she was like, well, and he's like, you did it. And he called her out and mm-hmm. she didn't like react in the way she should have to prevent mm-hmm. him from making assumptions.
Yes.
Which turned into the clusterfuck of the century.
Yes.
So, but thankfully we don't have to deal with that in the show. Because
yes, thank God.
And I also, my last problem, my last notable problem with the book, which the show also corrected, was in the book, Dimitri was 6 or 7 years older than Rose.
Mm-hmm.
But Rose was younger. She was still in high school.
They're 17, right? In the book?
I think.
I know they're seniors, but they're still, they're teenagers and he's 7 years older.
Yes. Which I don't have a problem with that age gap in general. It's just that when you're in high school, and he says it to her in the book, when you're in high school and I have an adult experience, it's a big gap when you're that young.
Yes.
But that gap shrinks as you age, right?
Yes.
So in the TV show, so I had a problem with that relationship, even though I eventually thought it was super cute and rooted for them. I really did. But in the TV show, they eliminated that because they are not in high school. Like, they're treating the academy a little differently. So they're not going to classes. They're drinking age. They're drinking publicly. Mm-hmm. So they're at least 21 years old. It's more like a college environment more than a high school environment. We never see them in classes, right? We never.
Well, we do see Alyssa and her people in classes. Like, there was an actual kind of class scene for one moment. But yeah, for the most part, it's very adulty almost. Like, they're trying to be like, this is university, not high school.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, Rose and everybody's training like it's. But then there's the whole political thing where they're like, we have to lower the guardian age to 16 because we want more teenagers and novices out there fighting. Like, that was an inconsistency in the show that I can dive into later. But you're right. They were treating everybody like adults instead of children in the school, but politically, they're still children. It was weird.
Well, we could talk about that because, you know, also Alyssa in the show, she's like, oh, you're up next. Batter up. Your turn. You're going to be, you know, the next in line for your family until something goes left. But it's like immediately she's like thrown into that and she's picked, you know, she's selected by the queen or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it feels different. It comes across a little different. Definitely they age them up and I don't mind that at all. Mm-mm. So what about you? Did you have any things that stood out to you as things you didn't really like, or?
It was very, I don't want to say like campy YA, but it was so YA and like in the book, it was so, we're going to class, we're going to start rumors, we're going to almost have sex with boys and then start rumors. And oh no, she slept with a boy to spread another rumor. And it was just, ugh, like, do we have to? That was probably my biggest nitpicky, although I agreed with everything you said. That was all really annoying. But the other thing was in the book, Dimitri has like no personality or presence or depth or anything. He's just this hot brooding boy who's making her run laps and like, what else is there? But she's so in lust with him because he's so pretty. And I was like, I don't know who he is as a person. We know a couple details about him, but, you know, he's just the hot brooding boy. So, of course, he has to be the hero. He has to be the one we all want and love because he stands in the shadows, right? And
yeah, I think we don't get to know him at that level until second book, really. And I think the show did another course correction by involving them pretty quickly.
Yes. Yes. I really liked that we got to know him a lot more in the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that was one of my issues. All of the stupid rumors, the sleeping around. Dimitri's just so perfect and just why.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So they're not that, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't want to love them as a couple immediately. That's for sure.
I don't even know if I like want them to be a couple. Like you said, he was like, I can't do this because I'm so much older than you and it's wrong. And if you were older, then maybe it could be something. But right now, like, the age difference is too much. And I really appreciate when a male character says that. Like, so many men just want to take advantage of younger girls. And he's like, nope, nope, I'm too steadfast in my honor to take advantage of a minor. So I appreciated that from him. But otherwise, I was like, who are you? Just like, who are you?
Well, to me, he's like this brooding, like you said, hot Russian guy, right?
Yeah.
And that's basically it. And they kind of took a little bit of that away in the show because, first off, the guy's accent in the show, I don't know what kind of accent that is, but it's not Russian.
It's not Russian.
It's some kind of hodgepodge. I don't know what kind of, I don't know. And to be real honest, I visualized Dimitri a lot hotter than that. That guy's not cute.
That is not cute at all.
That guy's not cute at all. That accent is not
working, and I'm just like, nope, nope.
And I feel like if you want to change things, I'm okay with change, right, in an adaptation. But go all in, right? If you're going to change him to British, make him full-on fucking British, okay? Whatever you want him to be, just dive in and own it, right?
Exactly.
But at the very least, make sure he's hot. Make sure he's hot. That is the whole, like,
point
thing. Right. You can't be average looking. I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel about Dimitri's character. He need to be hot. We like with the Vampire Diaries, right? Everyone loved Damon. Everyone loves Stefan. Why? Because they like looking at him. They root for Elena and these two want your team A or B because you think they're cute as a couple or you like them as a couple. But Rose and Dimitri don't have that right now. I'm like, yeah, y'all okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's some chemistry between the actors, but like,
even that's weak, I think. Like a couple of the kissing scenes they had, I'm like, they were so extra in trying to create tension before the kiss. And I'm like, man, this kiss is taking a long time. Just smash your lips together already. It seemed like that a lot of the time. They had like this, they were trying to create that magnetism where people don't want to kiss but they do want to kiss, but I kind of think they failed and it just looked cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, so much of this show is just so cheesy anyway.
Yeah, and it
sorry not sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is, especially the beginning. It's like that first episode, I'm like, what the what is this?
They changed everything for this show, and I'm not mad about it because, like, they wanted to make it a very long TV show, and obviously, this storyline in the book itself is so short. Like, it was fully wrapped up in less than 300 pages and nice and easy, and you can't drag that out for more than 2 hours. Like, no,
yeah.
So I'm not mad about the changes. Some of them were annoying, and I rolled my eyes a lot, but like, it is what it is.
Yeah, and some, like you said, were strictly by design to lengthen the story, right? Like, for example, you know, in the book, it was Miss Carp that had the spirit, and she went crazy and ended up killing herself.
No, she and was killed by her lover, right? Or was it the other guy? He was one of the guardians. One of the guardians came and killed her, and I think it might have been her lover. Just, you know, more
tension.
Was it
the same lover that Sonya had in the TV show? Because Mrs. Carp is essentially Sonya in the TV show.
Yeah.
Except for her being a teacher, she's much younger. And, you know, Victor is her father. Also another change. So instead of Lyssa being forced to heal Victor, Sonya is voluntarily healing him. You know, so they really took that whole weird thing out of it.
Which, again, was kind of shocking to me because I was like, wait, isn't he supposed, like, the very first episode, he's being all nice. And I was like, wait a second, he's supposed to be the bad guy. And nope, they turned left really hard.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy at all. He doesn't even want Sonya to do as much as she does. I'm like, well, how long before they switch him? And he's, like, desperate to be healthy all the time. So maybe that might change later, but they're letting it lie in season one, clearly.
Did you get to episode 7? Because some shit goes down.
Yeah, let me see. What happened in episode 7?
I just watched it, like, an hour ago, so it's very fresh on my mind.
I watched it a couple days ago.
The queen wouldn't nominate anybody, and his health is still deteriorating, and he went to go find his daughter, but she killed somebody. Spoiler That's alert. Right. Sorry.
Belated spoiler alert. She did kill somebody because she did.
So now he's getting more desperate. He's still super weak and needs healing, and his current healer has just turned super evil. So I think we might start leaning into the him kidnapping Alyssa part. I'm just not sure how they're going to play it.
Well, I don't know. So they also, another big change is they pulled Adrian into this book. Adrian does not appear in the, not Andre? In the book, into the show. Well, I guess Andre. His name is Adrian in the books, okay? The spirit guy who drinks himself to death. Like, he's constantly drinking and high.
No.
Adrian.
I'm thinking her brother, Andre. Adrian, the spirit guy. Yeah, okay.
Right. So he doesn't appear in the books until book two.
I was wondering if they had started pulling from future books, because some of it felt like too plot heavy. And I was like, this is not what I just read. So.
Yeah. So Adrian is pulled ahead from book two. And also Adrian, if I remember correctly, now it's been a long time since I read these books. Mm-hmm. So if I remember correctly, Adrian actually dated Rose for a while. Adrian dated Rose for a while before she actually got with. So it's not like book two, she just gets it in with Dimitri. That's not it at all.
Based on his reaction in book one, I wouldn't assume so. Yeah. He would pull back. He would not want to do any of this. And I trust his book instincts on this, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know if I like what the show is doing, because in the show did have Adrian take note of Rose, right? He made some comment to her, right? Mm-hmm. So he likes the way she looks, but it seems like he is more flirting with Lyssa. And not only that, but there were a list of options of people for Lyssa in the show. Mm-hmm. And Adrian was on the bottom of that list as possible options to marry instead of.
Did you see who else was on that list, though? Christian.
Who else was? Christian. Yes, Christian. And Christian and her are not like what I thought they would be versus the book.
The not book quite. Version of them, I honestly adored. Like, there were some issues, but I adored them. Mm-hmm. This version, I don't know. There's no spark. There's no chemistry. There's no Christian.
He's more like a helper to her, like just a friend helper.
And then they had sex, and I was like, what? Why? Like, why? There's no why.
It didn't work.
Not at all.
It didn't work. But on the page, they were super cute.
They were cute in the book.
Yeah.
And then this, I'm just like, no, it's not working.
You get all those scenes, right? Like in the book, they had time alone together at the top of that, you know, in the church, that attic space. They
bonded.
They shared more.
Yeah, they got really emotional and bonded and were, you know, together through thick and thin, I guess. You could say, but in the show, no, they're kind of like, I don't want to say sibling like, but you know, very just friendly, helping. I don't know.
They are friendly. Like he did in the show, he did help her during her trials. Like, and I don't even remember her having a trial in the book. Did she have a trial?
Not in this book.
No. So she had to have her trial. Because I guess
she was nominated for queen, and so they had to know what kind of magic she could do. Like all of that, just it was brand new for me. I don't know if they do it in a later book, or
I don't even remember her having a trial in the books. Honestly, that doesn't mean it's not there. I just don't remember it. And it started to feel kind of divergent-ish a little bit. Some of this stuff, like the whole fighting and scoring. Mm-hmm. That was divergent, went through and through. Mm-hmm. That was nowhere in this book, fighting and scoring. Of course, show me your power type thing. Mm-hmm. That is not So they took elements from they pulled from Divergent, mm-hmm. I feel like,
mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. The show. They wanted to kind of, I felt like the showrunners wanted to throw back to our 2010 YA era of, you know, the Hunger Games, Divergent. Everything was so hot back then. The movies were amazing back then. Everybody loved it. And they wanted to try and recreate that here.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really annoying again. Like, I didn't care for it. Meh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they changed that. And of course, at the beginning of the book, Rose and Lissa are on the run. Mm-hmm. They're out and about on the run. And then, of course, they get dragged back. But in the show, they weren't on the run.
They never left.
They never left. And then they just went out for, you know, I guess Rosa to try to cheer her up. And they missed the curfew coming back. And then they got in all this trouble because they were like out of bounds after dark. And that was the trouble instead of them being, you know, fugitives.
Yes. Yes.
On the run. I don't know. The show changed so much. It's a completely different story.
Completely different. Like, you can't even think about the book watching this show because everything about it is different.
Yeah.
They've kept some tiny core pieces, but it's just not even working for them.
No. Okay, this is a good time to take a break. I'm looking at our time. Let's take a quick commercial break. You guys, check out these commercials. Check out the book review notebook and journal available right now on Amazon. And come right back and we'll continue our conversation after this. Today's episode is brought to you by the Shelf Addiction merch store. Check out all the bookish t-shirts, notebooks, mugs, and more. Don't miss out on these original designs, perfect for any book nerd. Support the podcast and visit shelfaddiction.com/merch and pick up your next favorite bookish item. Okay, welcome back, guys. Let's just pick up where we left off. So it seems to me, mm-hmm. you like the book better than the show. Is that right?
I would have to say yes. I do like the book better than the show, which is rare for me and very surprising. Going into this, I thought it would be the opposite. I don't know if you remember our episode from earlier this year when we said, you know, here are all the TV shows that are coming out and we're not going to read the books. This was on my list of, I don't want to read the book. I want to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really glad you made me read the book because I like the book better than the show.
Yeah, I think while I agree with a lot of the changes they made because those were issues that I had, mm-hmm. they also made a lot of changes that took away from the experience. So I still ultimately think the book is better.
Yes.
And it's rare to me. It happens once in a while, but it's unusual for me to like the adaptation better.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
But I don't know. Like, objectively, I can say that this is a very decent TV show. You know, if you've never read the book or if you like a lot of very political drama, lots of angst, you know, you like the glitz and the glamour of all of their celebrity royal stuff, then you'll probably really enjoy the show. And, you know, I have to give them kudos for taking the story and developing it into something so detailed that can last 8-10 hours, however long a season's going to be. Like, kudos to them. They've done a decent job with it. I still have issues and there's still a lot of like plot holes and inconsistencies and just stupid characters being stupid. And I have to yell at the TV screen for that. But objectively, like, they did a good job.
Yeah, I agree. But I would say if I wanted to continue reading the books, I would not continue watching the show right now because
it's so different.
I think they just clash too much. And I would, instead of enjoying the show, I'd be sitting there thinking about all the things
that you did wrong
that aren't right.
Yes. So
I think if I want to continue the show, which I might, I mean, it's not like on my high watch list, but I've through so much of the season, I might as well finish the last three of the season. I kind of want to see how the season finale ends. But when season two runs around, if it comes around, I'll have to like make a cognizant effort to remember to watch the show. You know what I mean? It's not like it's
not there. It's not pushing you. It's not demanding to be watched. It's just, it's just there. And yeah, I feel like that's a good description of it. It's just there.
It's there. Because episode seven, I did fall asleep on and had to rewind. I don't know what I was doing, but I remember falling asleep on it. I'm like, oh no, I got to rewind. I hate when that happens. But yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It definitely does not have, it's not, okay, so for example, it's not as bad as, what is it called? City of Bones. They did that adaptation on Freeform. I don't think it's as bad as that one. But it's definitely not the best adaptation I've ever seen.
Did you watch the movie version of Vampire Academy when it came out in like 2013, 14 or whatever?
I did. And I hated it. And I mean hate with all caps. It was awful. It was so, now that is something that the show did well. They decided not to make it as campy. Like that movie was straight on, like, what kind of BS is this? The tone was completely wrong. Everything was like over the top cheesy and campy to me. I feel like the show is a lot more toned down.
I feel like all the fans I've ever talked to hate that movie. Anybody who's it's read awful. Vampire Academy hates that movie that was made back then. And I feel like fans, you know, if they can put aside the differences, might enjoy this show a bit more. So,
yeah, in that sense, and if good. They're more removed from it, right? I think the further removed you are from reading the series, the more you'll be able to enjoy this because you won't remember every single thing like it just happened. So it'll be easy for, I think it'll be easier for you to just embrace the changes because you won't really remember what happened where, when, anyway. So there's that. I definitely recommend having a nice long break before diving into the show if you've just read them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, like even the very, very beginning opening of the show is Rose and Lyssa and Lyssa's family at this big party. Then they get in their limo and then you see the wreck happen. And that happened how many years prior? At least two or three years before the start of Vampire Academy. And like instantly they're putting it right at the very beginning. They're making it so prominent to everything in this story. And so, yeah, if you can't handle that, like, right off the bat, maybe give yourself some grace and wait a bit before watching this.
Yeah, it's very, very different. And that, I don't hate it because, like we mentioned, like, some of the stuff that, like, what do you call it, queer baiting?
Queer baiting, yeah.
I didn't really like that. And for them to avoid all of it, they just changed it. They said, guess what? They're not out in the world. No one needs to find bodies to drink off of if you're not out in the world. We just skip it all. Let's just ignore it.
Yes.
And that is exactly what they did.
I'm also really glad they got rid of Aaron. He would not have added anything to the TV show plotline at all. He's the guy who Mia was dating and then Lyssa stole him back and, you know, stupid high school drama in the book. He's just gone. And I really appreciate that.
He's not important at all. Like, good riddance.
I'm trying to think about the book. And really, I just kept comparing Rose to Faith in my head. And like, every time Rose would do something, I'd be like, wow, you're being really stupid right now. But then Rose would come back and apologize. Like, when she lied to Christian, she apologized to Christian later. And I was like, Faith would never have this much growth. Oh my God, go Rose. You're growing. I love it. And so it was just a lot of that for me, and that heavily influenced how I felt about the book.
Yeah. I did like some of the stuff Rose did was like very juvenile.
Oh, of course.
In the book.
Oh, absolutely.
But I still, Rose as a juvenile is smarter than Faith as an adult.
Yes, Rose is a teenager, and I'm giving her that grace to be a teenager who fucks up, but then she owns it and she does stuff to apologize and she tries to fix her issues and she doesn't go crying to daddy the way Faith does every 2 seconds. And so, yeah, no, I just kept thinking about that and I was like, Rose is an unlikable heroine, but she has growth. She has change. She's becoming a better person, like within this first book. And so that does give me hope for future books. And maybe I will go read them. I don't know. Like, it's not.
You thought Rose was unlikable?
I did, because she's not very passive. She's very loud and brash and. She's unliked by most people. And so that's what I call an unlikable heroine, is somebody who doesn't, you know, sit on the sidelines and wait for everybody to like her. Or, you know, Lyssa was very passive. Lyssa was like a very fragile doll in the book. And she has more agency in the show, which I really like. But,
well, I just as many as people who didn't like Rose in the book, she had people who liked her. Like Mason was hot. Like Mason.
Oh, God. The Mason thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He, even in the show, Mason like goes hard for her. He's a little jealous, but you know, she does have other friends that are also in the program and stuff. So it's not like she's a completely outsider and she only has Lyssa, but.
But it's. Falls under that umbrella of unlikable because she's not conforming. She's yelling. She's speaking her mind. She's kicking butt. She's, you know, doing things on her terms and people are judging her and, you know, she doesn't care what they think when they judge her and all that stuff. But
yeah,
she's one of the good unlikable heroines because I can root for her because she is showing growth because she's so much better than Faith.
Yeah, she is better.
She's so much better than Faith.
In a lot of ways. I mean, I don't know. She's very mature for such a young person. Disregarding the little slip-ups that high schoolers do because they're in high school.
I mean, give her grace for that. Like, she's in high school. I fucked up in high school. And, you know, she owns it. She doesn't let it fester. She owns it. And I really admire that in a character.
Yeah, and I think like even at the beginning, you know, they thought we can do everything on our own. We don't need anybody. By the end of that book, you know, they've basically, especially Rose, she has let go of that idea of
doing it alone.
Yeah.
She knows she needs the team. She knows she needs Dimitri as the second guardian. She knows she needs to tell people that Lyssa has issues and so she goes for help. It was really good.
So what do you think about Spirit as a whole nother undiscovered, or not undiscovered, but kind of hidden, right? It's a hidden long ago, what do they call it? What do they call it? Skill or
magic?
What do they call them? Yeah, that not a lot of people have, but.
I mean, it makes sense. There's so many power-hungry political people that if they knew this existed, they would do whatever they could to control it, to control everybody. So it makes sense that they kind of eliminated it. I don't know. I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm not really invested in the magic because even though the magic is so important, nobody really talks about the magic in this world, if that makes sense. Like, I don't... We know in the book, Christian sets somebody on fire. In the TV show, they have this big ceremony to show, oh, you have magic fire. But then nobody ever really uses it for anything.
Right.
And I know.
Like, why aren't you setting those Dragoi on fire when they're coming around trying to attack people? Just.
Right? Like, that would make sense, but no.
Or blow them away if wind is your thing. Or, like, I don't know, drown them if water is your thing. I just. They could be using, That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of the problem that the TV show definitely is pointing out. Like, you have these powerful vampires, mm-hmm. supposedly, but the minute they come into contact with the red blood drinking, you know, the crazy killer vampires, the Strigoi, oh, they've lost everything. They don't know how to do anything. Mm-hmm. And they rely on the Dampiers to totally take care of them and protect them. Mm-hmm. No matter what, this could be a Dampier that's 10 years old. Who gives a fuck? Get them out there. They don't care.
Exactly. So
all the bodies in front of us, but they could be so much more. And I think that's going to be another thing to wrestle with in the show, obviously. Mm-hmm. But
I mean,
we just got to get there.
They're definitely making it like the political campaign of the century. Yeah. And I don't know. I found the whole political stuff really boring, but you know, it is what it is. And so, yeah, no, I'm really glad that they're pointing out that these powerful people are actually very, very weak and not doing anything. In the book, yeah, Christian attacked somebody and everybody was so shocked that he knew an attack spell. They're like, how did you know how to put fire like near him? And I was like, you guys have magic, but you can't use it for anything.
They're not trained to use it. Like, so what's the point of it?
Exactly. Like, do you just light candles? Like, what do you do with your magic?
I don't know. And like in the book, Lissa was using
mind control on people.
Yeah, she was using, there's another specific word, but it's not in my head right now. But she was using it a lot.
Yes.
Every time you turn around, she is telling somebody what to do. I'm like, oh my God. But in the show, it's like she even realized, I guess she never actually tried it, right? Mm-hmm. She
did it for the first time in the show. She was really, in the show, she's learning about her magic, whereas in the book, it's Rose who's like doing all this research for her and telling her what her life is. Which again made her feel very passive and like a fragile doll who couldn't do anything for herself, which is annoying. But
and Lissa feels a lot stronger in the show mm-hmm. than in the book because, yes, like you said, she was very weak and she needed to be taken care of and protected, and not so much in the show. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, she does need guards, right?
Yes, but everybody does. 'Cause
she's royalty, right? They all need the guards, but she doesn't seem as helpless and fragile.
Exactly. Which was good.
She did in the book. Yeah.
It was very
definitely.
Good.
Definitely. So I did expect someone just more fragile altogether, fragile looking mm-hmm. than the actress that they gave us for Lissa. So she is very opposite of what I would expect based on how the book describes Lissa as being so frail and helpless. And
the one thing I absolutely love with this show is that everybody looks different because mm-hmm. they went diverse. They're like, we're going to have lots of black people. We're going to have some brown people. We're not just going to make everybody white and blonde. And I think Dimitri's the only one who's, you know, the same as the book. But even then, like, he doesn't really look or act or sound Russian.
He doesn't look Norwegian at all. He doesn't look like anything of what I would have expected. Mm-mm. So, which is fine, but I feel like in for a penny, in for a pound. If you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah, he was the only one like they tried to stick to the book for, but everybody else in the show is completely different. And I was like, thank goodness. And they did bring in some actual gay people. I'm like, yay, there's two husbands. And yay, these two girls are making out over here. Yay, diversity.
And it doesn't feel like they were just checking the box. Uh-uh. Like, it actually fits the story. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, they had to throw the gays in. Got it. They got the blacks in. Got it. We got some Asians. Check the box. You know, it didn't feel like that.
No, which so was really good. Like, props to them. Kudos to them. Give them all the gold stars for that. Like, that was really good. Because,
And I agree. They did it right. If you're going to change virtually everything. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yes.
Because these aren't things about these people that will stop them from acting like their character.
No.
It won't stop them at all.
Not at all.
From having these supernatural powers or, you know, in these situations. They can be blue.
Yes.
and green.
Yes.
And they can still play those, be those roles. So I love it.
Yes. Yes. We got to give them kudos for that. But.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. The show just didn't quite hit it. Like, all of the good stuff aside, the show just didn't quite hit the right notes for me. And I don't, like, I can say a lot of good things about it, but just from a very personal TV watching standpoint, I could walk away from it today and never watch another episode and be fine.
So you're not going to finish the season? You're not even curious?
I'm a little curious, but I don't know. Like, I don't think I could. I don't know. Like, I'm not.
I'm going to finish it.
I'm not looking at the calendar to be like, when's the next episode? I'm like, okay, that was good. I'm done.
Okay. I will finish it, but it would I have to be honest, it would surprise me if it got a second season.
I hope for their sake they get one. Like, they're doing a good job with it, but yeah, like, I don't know if it's doing well enough with ratings. I don't know if it's doing well enough anywhere else. I haven't heard other people talking about it.
That's the thing. I haven't heard anyone talking about it, which is bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
So did you? Okay, so this show is on Peacock. Did you have to pay for something? Or
I have a trial for the next year with Comcast or whatever. Like,
okay. But without that, I don't think you could have seen that show. At least in my experience with Peacock, they'll show you the first episode. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to see
anything
the
else,
whole season. No. So on top of it being a unique and very niche show, you have to have Peacock and care about paying for that subscription to mm-hmm. watch it. And if I didn't already have access to it, I wouldn't have paid to watch beyond the first episode. So I don't know. I guess it depends, right? I haven't heard much about Peacock being very successful in general as a streaming service.
I still think they're trying to figure out what they want to do. I know they're starting to get more popular movies to try and like attract people to their streaming service. But yeah, no, I don't think they've really kept or canceled many shows. Like, they haven't done much of anything.
No. They definitely don't have any hard hitters. Nothing that is dragging people. Like, for example, y'all know I love a good, you know, good TV. Mm-hmm. So, like, Game of Thrones, that toes the line for HBO a lot of the time mm-hmm. when it's in season, right? It does. They draw the watchers. And of course, like, Amazon is trying to get some heavy hitters. They got this, they have the Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. stuff that they're trying to
promote,
grow. They're trying to grow their subscription from Lord of the Rings fans, mm-hmm. right? And of course, Disney, they toe the line with all their Marvel stuff. People will buy that subscription just for the Marvel stuff, even if they don't watch a single cartoon.
Yes.
Right? So that, I think, is what Peacock is missing. There's nothing to toe the line for that subscription service. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of random things, but there's no heavy hitter there. And that is why Vampire Academy will not be seen by the masses, because I don't think a lot of people have subscription service to that.
I don't think so either. And I hope for the sake of the show and the creators and the actors that they get another season. Like, it's decent enough that I hope that for them. I probably won't ever watch it again, but, you know, like, kudos to them. Like, they know what they're doing. They know what they want. They have decent writing. I just
expected a little more, honestly, because Julie Peck's name was attached to it. Mm-hmm. And Julie Peck is the executive producer of The Vampire Diaries, The Originals.
I never watched those shows, but it very much felt like that to me.
It did. It doesn't. Let me tell you why. I felt like, to me, it felt like a lot more, especially early on in the season, a lot of splashy, beautiful, bright things, you know, like, that it was
from
too...
just seeing the commercials of those shows. That's what I just expected from them. So it's like, okay, yeah, no, this is like Vampire Diaries.
Not even. I feel like the Vampire Diaries was a lot darker feeling to me. Ooh, it felt okay. Heavier, darker. Like, for example, the main character, her whole plight in the first season is constantly being reminded about how her parents died when she was in the car with Ooh. Them. So, like, her parents drove off of a bridge, and somehow she got out. She doesn't really remember how she got out, but they died. She didn't. So she has, like, survivor skills mm-hmm. on top of a brother who is acting a fool because, of course, he said about his parents dying. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot... Although they try to make that same thing happen with Lissa, Lissa to me doesn't feel like she's in the trenches of trying to deal with her family dying. It feels like she got over it pretty quickly.
She did. She was a little depressed at the beginning, but then she, you know, was nominated to become queen and just forgot about her trauma. Her dead brother, Andre, kind of appears to her a couple times, which is a little different, again, from the book, but... Yeah. Other than that, no, she's very much over it.
Yes. She's more concerned with her role of things and what has to be done mm-hmm. than she is about grieving her parents. And of course, obviously, Originals was even darker than Vampire Diaries because no one is in high school. We're not doing the high school thing in the Originals. These are old ass, badass vampires and werewolves fighting each other for territory and other shit, right? So it's like that even has a more adult feel. Mm-hmm. With Julie Plec being attached to it, I think I expected something that visually looked different than what I visually saw. Mm-hmm. I felt like what I was looking at with Vampire Academy was a fucking circus and not... you know what I mean? Yes. It was like, look at... It looked like a circus.
It was very bright.
Not,
it was very bedazzled and they're... You know, and that, again, opening scene in episode one where they're dancing around in the party and she has the red on her neck and then there's the red petals everywhere. It was very much a glitzy, glammy circus, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. And everything feels like that. Even when, like, they're out there doing their little test, they're in the woods. And I'm like, I mean, that looks, it's like they're trying to make things cinematic, maybe? Is that the word?
They
maybe.
Were so dumb in that scene. When I tell you I screamed at my TV, oh mm-hmm. my God, I'm glad I live alone because they were so dumb. Mm-hmm. And I just cannot, there's so many times when these guardians are the stupidest motherfuckers ever. And I'm just like, I know you're making them dumb to make a point so we can have trauma and drama and awful things happen, but oh my God, please give somebody a brain cell at some point.
I mean, they're so highly trained, right?
They're not.
They weren't acting highly trained. They just walking around like a bunch of doofuses.
No, they're like, okay, there's a bad guy coming. One person, go get the other guy who's on guard duty. We're going to stand around this fire or sit down by the fire. I think some people are actually sitting by the fire. He comes stumbling back with blood everywhere. And they're like, oh, no. Oh, no. What's wrong? Oh, no. I don't know what's wrong. Oh, no. There's blood. Oh, no. And I'm just like, you stupid motherfuckers. No. And then their friend shows up. And they're like, okay, some of you guys need to run to the car because apparently the car will save you. And I'm just like, you dumb motherfuckers. I cannot.
No. Yeah.
And then they forget about the original bad guy. They're just like, oh, we killed our friend. And I'm like, but where's the person who turned him? Aren't you worried about that? No, you're going to sit here and cry.
I thought about that too. Like, well, what happened to the person who turned this fool? Where are they mm-hmm. at? Like, you not thinking about what else is out there? You so concerned. That's why y'all going to die.
Yes, that's why they're all going to die, because they're so dumb.
Yes. Which is the irony of it all, because they're supposed to be so well trained, so this, so mm-hmm. that. And then, of course, the royals are like, oh, well, I guess that just shows how ill prepared they are. Look at them all out there dying. Oh, well.
Oh,
I guess
well.
We need more. Get rid of old ones and get some new ones, some fresh ones to train. I don't know. It's like, what?
Yeah, no. The funniest line of all time was when they told the queen that they needed more guardians. And she's like, yeah, so start telling them to fuck. this 90-year-old or 80, like this old Asian lady who's the queen. It's like, yeah, just tell them to go fuck.
Tell them to get to it and start procreating, I guess.
Oh my God. That line was iconic. That line will live with me forever.
Just go tell. Yeah, that was pretty extreme. I'm like, the fuck did she say? Oh, like that, yes, huh? Yes, okay, yes. Guys.
She's telling them what to do and she's on it.
That is that so freaking hilarious. Was the best.
But yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, well, I don't have anything else I want to point. I feel like I pointed out all the things that were important to me. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. It was, the book was better, barely. I don't know. It was good. I'm glad I read okay. it. I'm glad I watched it.
So did you not say, I know I said yeah. my rating was 3 out of 5. Is that where your rating falls yes. or less?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's a solid 3 stars. I'm intrigued. I might read more, but 3 out of 5 stars.
Okay. And for the show, what would you rate that?
Probably the same. 3 out of 5.
Like, yeah. Like same, but for different reasons. Yes.
Exactly. Like it's good. It has some good qualities. I don't think I'll ever go back and finish it, but like I have to give props and kudos. And that queen's line, like I just that had me laughing so hard.
That was kind of funny. I mean, she probably had the best line of the season.
Oh, definitely. Like that is the highlight.
Yes. Okay, y'all, so please let us know if you have read these books and or have watched the adaptation on Peacock. Let us know what you thought about it. You know where to find us. You can find us in Shelf Addiction Official over on Facebook. You can find us in the Book Club's app or come on the Discord server and talk about this show in the little feed section just for TV.
Yes!
We can talk about it there. I want to hear your opinion. Did you like it more than the book? Less than the book? Same issues that we had or different issues? Tell me all the things. All the things. Okay, so I think we're done today. What do you think?
I think we're done for today.
Thanks for being here. If you're still listening to the sound of my voice, don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button before you go. And we'll catch you guys next time. Until then, happy reading. Take care, guys.
Bye, everybody.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like to show your support, there are a few things you can do. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a positive 5-star review or like this episode on your favorite podcast player. It seems so simple, but it really helps me out. You can share this podcast with other book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. You can also join the Shelf Addiction Patreon family. For as little as $2 a month, you will help us produce even more awesome content for your ears. You can also consider joining the Shelf Addiction Official Facebook group where we talk all things bookish and more in a safe space. The Shelf Addiction Podcast is a part of the Nerdy Maven Network. You can also reach us via email at info@shelfaddiction.com. Thank you for listening.